Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 18 of Beyond Retro. I'm Nathan Kennedy, and I'm joined here with Tyler Baker and Joe Amato. And this week, we're going to be talking about some Saved by the Bell. But before we get into that, I want to apologize for not having a show last week because I was sick. And I'm still kind of residual, so I'm going to be coughing on occasion. Hopefully, I can mute that in time. But guys, how are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Even though you held us up last week and we probably didn't know if we were doing it this week, like, great, Nate. There you go. No, but just shitting you, man. I had that flu, so I know how horrible it was. So good to see you back and good to see you getting better.
Yeah. Feels good to be back.
Definitely. Yeah. What's up, T-Rex?
Down here. He's been playing the Triple H up in the podcasting world. He's been trying to hold us, all of us, back here. Like, no. Oh, we can't. We go when I say. I'm going to be on top here.
I gave them the option to start the show, and they're like, no, you need to do it, because we want to hear you cough. And I'm like, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, well, and let me just say in the chat room, hello to Chris Simpson. So good to see you. And he said he might have some stuff to say about Mr. Belding during our discussion. So yeah, we'll look forward to hearing any of your comments and what you have to say, and we'll be discussing that too. But before we started, we're trying to figure out times. And yesterday, me and Nathan were talking about, like, hey, maybe we'll start at 1 or 2, and we're trying to figure it out. And somehow that message obviously didn't get relayed back to Tyler. So today we're like, all right, we're already at 2? And Tyler's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to the gym. And he's like, you know, felt like he was left out, you know, not into the conversation. He's like, oh, shit, here we go. We're going to get reamed now by T-Rex.
Well, let me tell you this. I was at home all morning because we got hit with snow. So that's why I went to the gym later so I could get out. You guys had all morning to relay this. Joe's sitting back in his smoking jacket and his pipe and just waiting for that call, you know. And I'm assuming you guys are thinking I'm like Gangrel, like waiting around for Vince McMahon to make that call to him, just waiting, waiting. And nothing shows up. And I lose my mind. I have to get out of the house. And that's when you guys make that call. So I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm at the gym. I will be home at 3 o'clock. So
there you go.
All worked up, and he's like, well, Nate, you're supposed to tell Tyler. And Nate's like, I thought you were going to tell him. Each other in circles.
I think what Joe and I were talking about it yesterday, we left it at that, and I went and did some other shit, and then I guess I just forgot about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to let Tyler know, and then it never happened. So I will take full responsibility for all of this.
Yeah, but Joe is a human being. Joe has access to a computer, to Messenger, through Hangouts, and he just chose. I gotta go customize my blinds or my sock drawer. I don't know.
He's got to read that Spanish TV guide with He-Man on the cover.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to learn Spanish from TV guide, and like I got better things to do. I gotta go blow my nose, or I gotta go, you know, drain the lizard or something. I don't know.
It always comes back to me. I'll take the blood of all of it.
It was taking Joe 5 seconds. Hey, we're gonna record it 2 tomorrow. Is that cool? I said I'm there, but no.
So it's all my fault. I'll take the blame. All my fault. But also, welcome to Michael Bell in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. So, well, Nathan, Tyler, however you guys want to start. When you start, we're gonna be talking about some Saved by the Bell. It's one of the most, I think, most rerun shows I ever remembered. I remembered when it was on. Loved watching it when it was first on. Of course, you know, the episodes when they're new. But talk about syndication. I remember, you know, going to work, and every morning before work it was on. And like, just when I got out of school, I was like, how long has this been syndicated? For like over 20 years, it seemed like it never stopped until recently. It seemed like it was always on the same time on TBS at 7:30 or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, it would come on at like, I think it had an hour block between 7 and 8 or something like that. And then it had another block, between like 3 and 4, 4 and 5, somewhere around there. But yeah, I remember it would be on when I would go to school in the morning. And it was always the Good Morning, Miss Bliss episodes most of the time. And yeah, we'll get into that. But and then I'd come home from school and grab like a handy snack and start watching it in the afternoon. thinking about how hot Kelly Kapowski was.
Yeah, we'll get to talk probably about who we think of, or who was our hot one that we liked the most. But you're right. When was it originally going to be called Good Morning Miss Bliss or something? Yeah. Or what was it?
Yeah, when it was by the Disney Channel, they had done a run of it with Haley Mills, and she was obviously had ties to Disney, and the show just got canned after one season. But I think NBC picked it up. They liked part of the cast, but they got rid of Mikey and Nikki and Miss Bliss and everybody except Mr. Belden. So they kept Zach. And when I watched it, I thought maybe this was like Nikki was the protagonist for Jesse, Mikey was the protagonist for Slater. You know, almost as if like it's the same character almost, but just with different names because they had similar personalities. Except Mikey was more of a whiner as opposed to the alpha male that Slater was. But
yeah,
when NBC picked it up, that's you know, and it was at least cool that they decided to take that season of episodes and tie it into the current Saved by the Bell and have Zach doing like a introduction to those episodes to kind of tie it all together as if like this all did happen, but we just didn't see Kelly and Jesse, you know, running around with the kids at that time. Like when you watch the original Saved by the Bell or the current Saved by the Bell, like it's played up that Jesse and Zach were buddies as kids. Not really not said about Kelly's backstory, but all these kids knew each other except for Slater when he's brought in as the new student there. But I thought that was really cool. But I, like Nathan too, I hated those Miss Bliss episodes. I would watch because you didn't. That was the cool thing about watching it in syndication at 5 o'clock on TBS right after school. Like, you didn't know what episodes were coming on, but I always liked the ones where they were more older. Because I like Kelly and Jesse just got hotter with age, and I liked more of those stories. You know, when Zach and Slater were older, and they were more like buddies instead of, you know, rivals all the time. Because I was pro Zach, and anytime Slater was trying to, you know, best Zach, I'm like, oh God, I can't stand this. You know, so no, I liked they were buddies. So the later episodes from I think season two and on were the seasons I liked. You know.
No, I agree. Yeah, because when they hit the early episodes, and you know, when you're talking about Mikey and Nikki, and I hated seeing those episodes because it just felt so off. It just didn't have that gel of like the other cast that, you know, like you said, we got later. But just the episodes were something I didn't like at all. So I'm so glad that yes, they redid it, got us new cast members. And what's funny is like, you know, I think about when I first started watching the show, and you're right, Zach, I always thought, oh man, this kid's cool, and he's got the cell phone, and man, who in love had that, and like kind of seemed like he's popular, and then here came Slater, and boy, I mean, he was, like when you first see him, I was like, this guy, he's scary, he's like a punk, he's like a dick, he's a bully, like that's what I used to think of him, but then as the show went on, I was like, man, Slater's cool, but Zach, he's the punk. Zach's doing all this bad. It seems like he's always causing the trouble. I felt like, you know, everything flipped, in my opinion, you know?
Funny when you start to watch it, like, they all sort of, they take their turn. They're all terrible to each other.
Yeah.
Like, all of them are trying to sabotage the other person. Like, there's so many episodes that we're probably going to bounce back and around, but the one that pops to mind is the when they're trying to come up with the new like school song, and they're all sabotaging each other. Like Zach does it first, and then they get him back, and it's like, how are these guys still going to be friends after all of this?
Right. I do remember that. It, you know, what's funny is, of course, it always seemed like, you know, Screech usually is the one that was always taking the shit, it seemed like. Of course, you know, he's the one that seemed like never had the luck. He's, you know, anything he wants to try to do, and of course trying to get his girl because, you know, he's always after, you know, Lisa, which that was my girl. That was the one I liked the most. I was like, oh my God, I loved Lisa. Just drove me nuts in every episode. Like in the episode where Zach got with her and kissed her, I was like, oh my God, he got Lisa. And then I felt so bad for Screech. You know, he's like, poor Screech wants her so bad and can't get her. Zach barely even tries, you know, and he's getting everybody. And, you know, I always pity. I felt so bad for Screech, you know. And he, you know, as the show when it first started, you know, yes, when you're younger and you're a kid, you get a kick out of his goofy humor and his antics. But it seemed like as it progressed, he got a little more over-the-top dorky and goofy, you know, like they played off of it too much in his faces that he would make. I thought it was just, like, over-the-top as it got real far, especially I think they even tried to carry that into the college years, I thought. You know, it just seemed like You know, his character wasn't as exciting and goofy and silly as I liked. It was, like, over-the-top silly. I don't know if I'm making sense with that, but there was something about how he started being portrayed later that I really didn't get a kick out of. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
No, it definitely got worse, and I think it even extended beyond that when he stuck around with the new class. It got worse.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. I forgot about the new class. You know, you're exactly right.
I just look at Joe and he like froze in place. I'm like, oh no, what's going on now?
Oh, that happens with me all the time. That's why I try not to be animated because I know I'm going to freeze. So I should stay like this. First, I want to say your buddy SSJ Bits, he's in the chat room and he says, I know I can't remember Saved by the Bell that well. He said, I ain't learned full English yet. He said he thought you'd get a kick out of that, Nathan. So
he's told us before that like, he didn't learn English I want to say until he was like 8 or 9 or something like that. And I think he's about 4 or 5 years younger than me. So, he kind of missed the boat on Saved by the Bell.
Oh, okay. Well, at least then it explains why he didn't see it. But no, you're right. That new class, I don't even think I got into the new class at all. I mean, that was, I was like, eh. I didn't really enjoy Saved by the Bell, the new class, at all. It was even awkward when they brought in some other new girl. Like, I forget her name. Who was that biker chick, Tyler, that they brought in later seasons of Saved by the Bell?
Tori?
Oh, her, yeah. Yeah, just,
No, I can't speak for Tyler, I imagine. But I kind of thought when she came in, I was like, oh, yeah, Tori's kind of hot, too. Maybe it's just something about that show. Like, I went around in a circle with them. Like, obviously, for me, Kelly was the first one. I was like, oh, man. But then you keep watching the show. And then there's those select few where you're like, oh, yeah, Jesse's pretty hot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I never gave two thoughts to Lisa. And then all of a sudden, Lisa's pretty hot, too.
Okay, yeah, she was mine. She was mine. I just like, God, can we just have a lot of episodes where maybe she's in a bikini or something? Like, do a lot of beach episodes or something. That's all I wanted. Anytime, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm starting to think about Lisa. Go on.
Well, I want to know Tyler's thoughts. Like, I mean, obviously, Kelly's probably the top of the list for him, but were you like me? Did you kind of switch back and forth between who was your favorite?
Kelly was the first, because when I started watching the show, when I caught it on NBC when it was regularly on Saturday morning on NBC, and I fell for Kelly. But as I got a little bit older, and you start watching them as the cast gets older, like Jesse, like God, man, there's just something like she can be quite, you know, off putting with her viewpoints on a lot of stuff, which is like, ugh, but like. Boy, man, I envy Slater being able to go, you know, go home with her and get in the backseat of his car and stuff like that. And it was solidified. Jesse has been my favorite ever since.
It was Showgirls, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't see Showgirls too much later on, but knowing that Jesse was in, I'm like, oh, my God, I've got to see that. It would be a while before I would get to see it, because trying to rent an NC-17 when I'm still living at home with my parents as a teenager was just not going to go over. Mm-hmm. But oddly enough, my dad rented it and he didn't know what it was. He just thought it was a movie with pretty girls in it. And I thought, and I saw it. I'm like, Dad rented Showgirls? And I asked him about it. He goes, yeah, there was a lot of sex and stuff. And I'm thinking, Dad, how could you not know that?
Yeah, exactly.
Dad was so oblivious to certain things. Like when he rented American Psycho, he was like, yeah, it was nothing but a big porno. And I'm like, all right, but I didn't appreciate Elise's beauty until I got older, because I just saw her as the biggest bitch on the show, just because, you know, aside from the fact she was constantly
Joe gasps.
But I mean, look, every episode she's got some sort of smart ass remark to say. I'm like, look, nobody asked you for your damn opinion, rich girl. Yes, Lisa is a very, especially during the Tory time when her hair was straight, I'm like, oh my God, man, Lisa's rocking. But I did find Tori hot, but me and my brother used to make fun of how she talks. You know, like, and when she's brought in, she's like making fun of, like, oh, now don't make him talking about all the kind of girls that Zach dates. So me and my brother used to make fun of how she says the word girls. Like, she talks funny sometimes. And I never forget, like, all of a sudden, like, it doesn't make sense storyline-wise, and I had to do some research about it on the internet, too, about, like, how does Tori fit in? Because she comes in on the senior year, but then Jesse and Kelly are around for part of the senior year as well. And the cast has got, like, Lisa's got different hair. Zach and Slayer look a little bit more mature. And then you got Tori in there, and then Kelly and Jesse show up, I think, for, like, the last couple of episodes of the season. But I think there was a contract dispute with Elizabeth Berkley and Tiffany Amber about being on the show. I think that's why they brought Tori in to be the kind of filler for those two cast members there.
Yeah, it was weird, too, because, like, with the graduation episode,
she's like, not in it.
Yeah, Tori's not in the graduation one, right?
No.
Yeah, it's really weird. I kind of like jumped in, but
But she's just brought in as a filler, and as I gotten older, you know, she is hot. She's a hot biker chick, you know. I mean, it just makes Zach like the alpha male. He's gotten with Jesse, Kelly, Lisa, Tori, and everybody else at Bayside. I mean, aside from getting, he probably got with some of the teachers as well.
Miss Bliss? No, maybe. Oh, real quick, let me just say hello to JSP in the chat room. Thank you for joining us, buddy.
Hey.
And he's always.
I'm glad all these guys, with you promoting it, were able to find it because, just.
Tell them real quick, Nathan, just so in case they're listening right now, and you can say it later, but let them know about how to find this to make sure. You know.
Yeah, instead of being on this show, instead of it being on Doug Turner's YouTube channel now, since I'm doing the recording, it's on the Beyond Retro YouTube page. So hopefully you guys can, even though you're in this, you can click around and hopefully it'll take you there and you'll be able to subscribe to it. I also want to say this, too, because I know when I pop up and I got this new webcam and it's pretty sharp, everything's showing up in the background. I went ahead and brought down this Turtles poster just to lean it up against the wall. But if you look over here, this is not My Little Pony. That is my girlfriend's My Little Pony. I just want to throw that out there in case anyone was looking in the background. They're like, what the fuck is that? Like, is he a brony? It's like, no, I'm not. That's her thing. It's not mine.
Yeah, whatever helps you sleep at night, you know, whatever you got to say to, you know, convince everybody it's not yours. Sure, we all believe you, Nathan. We really, really do.
I appreciate the sarcasm, Joe.
Well, if Nathan had pointed out, I thought it was a plush chicken in the background, so I wouldn't have known it was a My Little Pony until he comes out and says, yeah, that's My Little Pony in the back, you know.
I, you know, to be honest, I didn't know what the heck it was either. I mean, even though he has, you know, now the, obviously you all can see this, Nathan has the clearest, best video of all of us. Then Tyler's right next to him. They're pretty close. Then you will always be stuck with the archaic look of this. I apologize to everybody out there. Someday I will upgrade and I'll look better, but until then, you'll have to view me like you're looking, I don't know, through an old Commodore 64.
It was supported by Afghan terrorists, you know, because they're always using like the old technology. And Joe's got a mask on too, so it's like he's issuing demands, you know, with the slow, back, you know. Fucked up the podcast world, you know, just like the villain in True Lies, you know, talking about his demands must be met.
Yeah, it looks like it's edited together in clips. Yeah, it does.
Blindfold over his head, and this is the guy who refused to pay my customization price, you know.
It looks like it's clipped and edited together, like little pieces. I'm like this, and then I'm like that, and I can understand. But hey, at least I got a cool shirt.
Scarf wrapped around you, just like an Afghan terrorist.
Truffle shuffle! That's the truffle shuffle! Gotta show that! Gotta promote the shirt, so there you go. So there you go. So there, that's our side rant. We always have these quick side rants. It's always going to happen. And yeah, now you got everybody agreeing with you, Tyler, about like, looks like terrorist or Taliban video, and it's grainy. So thanks. I appreciate it.
I think you should embrace that. You really just need to get like a mannequin dummy and dress it up behind you in like some of your clothes. And if you can get like a toy Nerf gun and hold it in your lap at all times when you're talking, God, how awesome would that be? Joe, Afghan terrorists from Toledo.
Yeah, Ohio. Well, the videos will just get flagged by the government real quick, and
but you know what? Open our doors.
Ages live on the internet.
I think this embraces almost Beyond Retro more than it could for fans of power. Meaning, Beyond Retro, we love talking about stuff from the 80s, 90s. So this could fit the mold of the topic of the show perfectly. You know, fans of Power, you think, oh, it should be a little clearer, but because it's funny, is JSP said, they said, Joe, you've got the 80s grain going on. So yeah. I do. It's like an 80s show when you're looking at me. Real bad when you recorded VHS, not coming in. You're lucky I'm not scrambled.
On Joe's end, you know, we got to sit here and adjust the tracking, you know, or take the tape out all on the tape.
Exactly, whatever it is to get me to come in somewhat clear. So, but all right, so there we did a quick side rant. But as for more going back to Saved by the Bell, they and that's the other thing, because you know what's weird is I didn't have Disney Channel, so that's why I'm going to ask you. This is Joe in his ignorant question. You know, we keep saying Good Morning, Miss Bliss. Now, when it was shown on Disney Channel, is that what it was called, or what was it called?
Yeah,
they had that original title card. I remember. I want to say, isn't it like it just shows like the background of a school, and then in cursive, it just says "Good morning, Miss Bliss." Am I remembering that right, or was it just a fever dream?
It's probably right. Honestly, I never looked up the original intro to it. I just know that's what it was called. It was on the Disney Channel for one season, and then got canned.
How many episodes did it last? How many was it?
By the Bell intro, and then they used shots from the actual Good Morning Miss Bliss show to introduce the cast of the show. So
How many episodes were there? No, just real quick, how many episodes were in that original season of Miss Bliss? How many was that?
What?
How many episodes were in that Miss Bliss before it got canceled?
Yeah, I think it was 10 or 12 episodes. It was a small order. It wasn't your standard like 24 episode order of episodes that the Disney Channel put in.
I'm typing it up on my phone right now.
All right. Well, a quick Google search will have that confirmed there. But
13 episodes plus the original pilot, so 14 altogether.
14, okay. Yes. Yeah, so not many, but you know, quite a few. But it's honestly, if I think about it, I can't even remember that many episodes of Good Morning, Miss Bliss. You've got that one goofy episode where those two guys try to convince Zach to join their club so he can get a red Letterman jacket. So
Together Forever Trevor, that always stuck in my head.
The dorks.
Yeah. The only other one I remember is when her niece, like the pop singer with the duel, she was so hot.
Yes, she was. So hot. That big 80s hair. And Zach got her too.
Yeah. Zach slept with everybody.
God, he did. It's a wonder he didn't have every girl at Bayside knocked up. You know, he was like the Wilt Chamberlain of Bayside High. You know, he just slept with every woman that was in that school. I guarantee he even slept with that nurse that he was after that he gave up Kelly for. How he did it, but I'm sure he managed to sleep with that nurse too, even though she pretty much rejected or scared him off. But I'm sure Zach planted his seed in her too.
I forgot about that episode until you mentioned it. But no, the reason I asked about that whole Miss Bliss thing is obviously I didn't have Disney Channel, so when Saved by the Bell came on TV, and like you said, we've seen that transition from the one group of actors to then the ones that basically we all know and love. It was strange and it was different. But then also like the tone of the show, didn't they start doing a lot of messages and things like in the show and morals and stuff and that was like their new thing to kind of, you know, latch on to, which, you know, it seemed like it worked for a lot of episodes and for people. And
I didn't really get morals a whole lot from Saved by the Bell, though, on occasion. But I mean, you look at episodes like with Jesse's stepbrother, you know, there's really not much of a moral from that episode. And this guy was like, I hated him as a kid, but it's fun to see this guy come in and just piss all over everybody's world just to be mean about it. But there wasn't much of a moral from that, other than, you know, after Jesse knocked the hell out of him, he decided to kind of, you know.
And then we never saw him again.
Yeah, never showed up again.
There's so many one-off episodes where characters just show up, and then they make it sound like they're going to stick around at the end of it, and then you just never see him again.
Like, remember when Zach was mean to that girl in the wheelchair, and then tried to be nice, and then still points out all the flaws of her being in a wheelchair?
Yeah, like when they're at the movies and everything, he's like, hey, he gets all pissed off because there's no, like, place for her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, oh, my God, this is
embarrassing. Thanks for the reminder. Exactly. It's like he keeps just sticking it in her face to remind her the poor girl's in a wheelchair. Like you said, never to be seen again on the show.
And anyone in the chat, just do a YouTube search for Zach Morris is Trash. And I'll go over, like, certain episodes where he was just complete asshole and did just terrible things.
Oh, did they?
Not only his friends, but the wheelchair one's the perfect example. Because I watched it, because I haven't seen that episode in a while, and I watched it, I'm like, holy, like, wow. Like, who thought that was a good idea to just, like, write that script?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Here's a prime example of what Joe was talking about. Now, there's a moral episode where just because she's different doesn't mean you have to treat her different. So, yes, if you were going to say there were episodes of morals, that's one of them. I mean, because it is a prime example of, because on the show you never do see anybody with a physical handicap of any kind, and to have Zach, the alpha male, has been introduced to one, he obviously is attracted to her, but he can't, you know, he's at least kind-hearted enough to where he's like, I can't date a girl that's in a wheelchair. He's going to go for it, but he also feels like he's got to overcompensate and make sure this girl is treated with extra care, and that's the point, is like, she's no different, she's just in a wheelchair, and so in that regard, yeah, there are morals, but then you got ones where he's dating that hot girl who wants to be on the wrestling team, and he can't deal with the fact that, you know, she can take care of herself and put guys in sleeper holds and not.
I like, yeah.
Yeah, and of course she's like, dude, she's hot, man. Of course, Zach didn't have the balls of, like, you know, oh god, it was embarrassing. I should have been able to defend myself, and he like wants to break off.
Oh god, I would have let her put me in a chokehold, slam me if I could. Yeah,
but all right. What about that one episode where there's like the auction for, like, oh, you can get a date with Slater or whatever, and then, like, the, isn't it, like, the fat chick is the one that wins, Zach, and he's like, oh,
Wendy the fat,
he's like,
chick.
Oh, god damn it, she's fat,
yeah,
I don't want it.
He's an ass.
It's a complete dick.
Yeah, he really is. Zach was an ass. I mean, he was so mean, and I don't know if that was the one with the lottery or the auction or whatever, but didn't they do something else where they're earning all this money? Was that to fix the car or something? There was something where they did something else where they were trying to sell off tickets, and I was like...
No, that's the Step Brother episode where to fix the car that Eric and Lisa crashed, they have a fake raffle, and they say, Screech, you're going to win it, but we're going to take your winnings to fix the car. You know, so they go in math class and say the answer will be put on the board by Mr. So-and-so, and he's writing the number, and everyone's screaming and yelling. He's like, wow, I've never seen so much enthusiasm for math. And the Screech wins, and so, yeah, they take all the winnings.
That's what I mean. That's another thing Zach did that was great. They robbed the whole damn school of this money. Those kids never got that money back. What a fucking thief. That's what I mean. He's terrible. Zach was rotten what he did.
And then what about the episode where Screech's parents are going away for the weekend? She's like, now don't have any parties. And Zach's like, oh, we're going to have a party. And then that Elvis bus gets broken. And they're like, oh, well, we need to get the money to do this. And then, like, they lose their money. And then they're doing that, that poker game? And yeah, he loses his dog to that guy. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Maxwell. Maxwell.
Yeah.
Well, let's say two things.
Jesse.
Two things from the chat room. One, JSP said, quick trivia. He said, the girl in the wheelchair was played by Jennifer Blankbein. I don't know if I'm saying that name right. And he said, which is the wife of Terminator star Michael Biehn. So
Biehn.
Okay. I'm sorry. Well, thank you for correcting me because I couldn't pronounce it. I knew I wouldn't pronounce it correct. And Chris Simpson.
Mad Monster this year, Nathan.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him about that. It's like, hey, was your wife in Saved by the Bell?
That's pretty cool.
Wheelchair? What's that like, dating a chick in a wheelchair?
That is pretty cool. So thank you, JSP. Also say hello to Jake Juggalo in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. And also, Chris Simpson said, make sure you talk about the episode where, you know, Zach and his Native American heritage. Oh, my God. Yeah, talk about that one. Oh, my God.
Yeah, running Zach, where he's comes in and makes a mockery of his Native American, which to me is like, how the hell did he just find some random photo in a chest of junk and somehow says, oh, I must be Native American. You know, no more research than that.
And then he finds it out, like, about it, right, and talks to that guy, and then doesn't he pass away?
Yeah, he goes to talk to the local friend of his teacher. But it just seems so lazy, like, just to find a picture, like, oh, I'm Native American because I found a picture. Like, yeah, if it wasn't for that guy, well, even then, there's no direct ties that Zach has Native American heritage, but he just goes and takes the picture. The guy tells him, yes, you know, this chief was, he was a great warrior and this and that, but somehow Zach is convinced that this guy's related to me somehow, like with no real proof. Like looking up history of this guy, and that's it.
No, there was. That's how I mean. And then just going just so far and extreme with it, with the, you know, the feathers and the paint and everything he does to stereotype Native American. It's like, just that show had its moments. And Jason Chapman is in the chat room. Thank you for joining us, Jason. Also, yeah, don't you worry. We're going to talk about what you just said. I'm so excited. So yeah, go ahead, Nathan. Yeah, that's one we're going to get to. We can do it now. There's so many things to talk about. But what did you think of that moral episode and everything with that one?
It's what is there to say that hasn't already been said about that? Like caffeine pills, like real, like caffeine pills. Like okay, she's sleep deprived and she's taking caffeine pills. Okay. But is that really gonna make her have a nervous breakdown like that? Well, I mean,
but look at it. When we were kids, though, like when I watched it, I took it as like I didn't quite understand that caffeine pills were not a severe drug. I just took it as Jesse's taking pills, drugs.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, yeah. I kind of thought that too. But they clearly he's like, oh, caffeine pills, and I'm just like, oh, okay.
But I mean, I didn't have a connection that she's like she might as well just be drinking a lot of Coke, you know. But it's. I was more embarrassed to watch it because of the singing that's going on with their little trio of Hot Fudge Sunday. I think that was the name of their group.
Yeah, and that was fucking dumb.
I just felt embarrassed. Like, oh god, this is so silly and awful. Like, I just felt, you know, like I shouldn't be watching this. I feel silly. Like, if
yeah, like secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Even though I'm sitting in my den with my brother, or sometimes just me. I'm like, I feel so silly watching Jessie lose her mind over caffeine pills. Like, she just starts screaming and singing and crying. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's
she thought she missed the test, Tyler. She thought she missed her test.
But still, it was just, you know, even as a kid, like, this is really bad acting right now.
Yeah.
One of the few times I could sit there and say that, like, that was probably one of the and there were some. I won't say it was one of the worst episodes. I would probably put it as one of the worst, just because that's an episode I never choose to revisit. I have no desire to watch it again. It doesn't leave a great memory. There's nothing memorable about that episode other than that. At least she could make fun of it when she showed up on Jimmy Fallon to do that skit of Saved by the Bell. She does embrace it and make fun of it, which I'm like, that's cool that she did that. But it's by no means a great episode at all. I would probably rank that in one of the top five worst episodes of the series.
No, yeah, because they were really trying to, you know, like you said, shove a message down your throat. Because you're right, when I was watching as a kid, yeah, I heard caffeine pills too. But it's like, to me, I thought, you know, they were trying to emphasize it was like drugs and the addiction of drugs and what it can cause, you know, like, you know, the side effects and things, like, especially like, you know, when you're being pressured and she thinks she has to do this great and do all this studying and this is all she can do to get by and make sure she stays awake. But yeah, when she went to that singing rant in her bed, you know, I'm so excited and I'm so scared. It's like, you're right, I do not want to watch it again. Like you said, you feel uncomfortable seeing it. It's like, God, this is horrible. Is she trying to win an Emmy or something? Is she really trying to put in this great performance? It's like she was going way over the top. And when I that episode, whenever it came out, I remember I was like, okay, can't watch this part. Let me go away for 5 minutes.
How did that episode even end? Like, wasn't it a thing where they're sitting at the Max and Zach's just like, yeah, you know, she's going to rest up and get help? Or
in rehab or something. I don't know.
Anytime it was gone, I would just kind of tune it out just because I got to sit through this episode to get to the next episode. And I just would, you know, I don't know. I've watched so many episodes. I got them all, so many memorized, but that's one I chose not to memorize. I didn't like it as a kid. I don't like it as an adult.
I guess since we're talking about that drug one, I want to bounce over to the drunk driving episode with their toga party, and Zach crashes the car, and then, you know, they sit and they lie about it and just dig this big hole, and then everything miraculously just turns out okay. I can't imagine if a teenager crashed their parents' car and they were drinking that everything just would have been fine.
I don't know. It didn't be like super neat and clean, because even though they work on getting the car fixed, I think it's of course Zach's dad finds out about it. Lisa's mom finds out about it, and of course Slater's got his arm in a cast because he sprained his arm or broke his arm. So when it all comes out, like, I remember Zach's dad comes out and says, Slater, you either go home and tell your father or I'll call him myself. And he says, yes, sir. And he goes home. And then he grounds Zach because he's just worried that, you know, I could have lost you. Something, you could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
It was like for a week. Yeah, probably grounded for like a week.
Yeah. Well, then again, too, as a kid, to the idea of being grounded for a week, you're like, oh, man, that's a long time. A week? You know? And you have to think about the show when you watch it, like, it's being aimed at children. So, you know, a week, a month, or when they show embellishments, like when Zach's being grounded for life and it shows him as an old man sitting in his room, and, you know, that he's had since, you know, 15 years old. And all the group comes over to see him. They're all old and they're decrepit. You're like, oh, man, that's what it's like being grounded for life. You know, I bought into all that stuff. And I really believe that when you got to high school, that's what everybody looked like. I mean, because the Saved by the Bell crew looked like fully grown adults in high school. So when I got to high school, I'm like, man, all the freshmen below us, they look like toddlers. Like, what the hell is this? I thought that when you get to high school, everybody looks like a well-grown adult. They're all dressed nice. All the girls are, you know, we did have some beautiful girls we went to high school with. But it just... That was my biggest impression of high school, is Saved by the Bell. Like, that's what I expected life to be, is, you know, hijinks and stuff like that. And no, it wasn't. I hated high school.
Being shitty to your friends, treating your friends like garbage.
Yeah, you know, I was like, you know, being, you know, made fun of and stuff like that too, and always.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's Hardy Boys thing. We can talk about that some more if
you
want.
You know, this isn't like Saved by the Bell.
You know. No, it was relatable. Like you said, it was a time when we were all going to school. That's what made it kind of fun, too. You could kind of relate to stuff. I never felt like I was watching a show that it was beyond where I came from. Meaning, things that were starting to happen on the show sure could happen at any school. It didn't make me feel like, oh, that's a rich and preppy school. It was just your average school, a lot of, you know, people picking on each other, name-calling, crazy antics. Of course, we never could time out and break the fourth wall, but I did like that. I thought that was cool. You know?
No, yeah, I mean, that was always cool. Who never, I always wanted to do that. That would have been cool to just stop time and be able to assess what's going on and then resume.
Yeah,
shit, I wish I could still do that now.
Yeah, don't you? I mean, I always thought it was cool to do, you know, because you didn't see that too much in shows, so it kind of like gave you a little break, little breather, just to see what he's going to do, what he's going to say, and then, you know, back to the show. I kind of used to get a kick out of it sometimes when you see that in other movies, cartoons, but you definitely wouldn't want it in something serious, you know, for like breaking the fourth wall and then somebody looking, talking to you. Sometimes it was uncomfortable in some movies when they do that. It's like, oh, don't look at me. Like, okay, you're acknowledging that you have an audience. Some things it don't work for. Saved by the Bell, I think it worked perfect for.
Well, because Zach was the only one doing it. Zach kind of the star of the show anyway. Regardless of certain episodes were about Lisa, certain ones about Slater, Zach always had a very prominent role in whatever was going on, whether the show was about Screech trying to sell his spaghetti sauce, you know, that Zach can somehow make profits off of, you know. Even if he wasn't the protagonist of the episode, he still always found a way to work himself in to have a very pivotal role in whatever the story was. Or like when Slater's trying to avoid going that interview of going to military school, Zach ends up going in and posing as Slater, wearing the goofy wig and wearing the fatigues and, you know, carrying the chair and, you know, just, you know, find some way of playing a big part in whatever the story. Even though it's a Slater story, Zach still has a big part in it. What's in
that? Yeah. You know, I don't know if I'm having a senile moment and confusing other shows, but didn't they remember Find That Bag of Money in the Mall, that whole episode?
Awesome episode. Yeah. Yes, when they're in the mall. Yeah. That's one of the best episodes. I love that episode.
Yeah, because they thought they were really being chased by some bad guys, correct? And it was a whole kind of like, you know, game.
It's so they could win the U2 tickets, right? Like, that's what the prize ended up being. And because they were waiting in line for U2, or they put Screech in line. Why you would do that? The biggest screw-up in your group, and you're all excited about this, and you put him in charge of wanting to get these tickets, and of course he fucks it up, and then hijinks ensue. But that was the end game with that, right? They were like radio guys, and they're like, oh, you guys won prizes to U2 or something.
Yeah, they're on a show called Candid Video, and that's what it was. They set one small, and they just picked some random people, hid the money in a shoebox, and just they chased them all over the mall. That's what was so fun, because it was outside of the school. It wasn't at the movie theater, the Max. It was, the whole episode took place in a mall. And it was just cool because they're having fun spending this money they found, and Screech is running around in a Superman outfit and yellow tights and eating yogurt and stuff like that. And And I mean, I will say this, you know, they wouldn't have been able to get anybody else in that group to lay at the ticket box all night. Screech is the only person who would have done that. So even though he's more likely to screw up, you're not going to get anybody else in that group. Lisa's not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, he's loyal, but he still messes up all the time.
Screw up. But it's a class. God, I love that episode. It was, you know, like when they go and sneak into the sporting goods store and sleep in the tent all night so they can be there.
I like Lisa, that part. Yeah.
By the screech in the tent, get rid of that stupid costume.
You know, it's funny. You talk about Screech and with costumes. I think one of the episodes that, for me, the most memorable that I did like for Screech, I think it was one of the earlier ones, was the one where that guy thought he was an alien, remember, and is filling, he was picking up radio stations or something, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the alien episode because I think that Didn't they all end up wearing some like goofy Screech masks or acting like aliens at the end? You know, like
I said, scare that guy off so they wouldn't take him away.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that one was a bit much, even for you know, it just seemed okay. You're kind of stepping outside the realms of the reality of that show. It's like in wrestling where you have a set amount of rules. If you start breaking those rules, even though you know it's fake, it kind of takes you out of like, okay, look, I can't buy this because you guys are stepping outside of what you've already established is what kind of reality you have. And that one, I just kind of felt like, going back and watching it as a kid, I didn't even like that one as much as a kid. It was okay. But as
I did. I don't know why. I just really liked it. It was fun. Like you said, it was out of the elements of what you'd expect in the rest of the episodes. And now maybe that's why it caught my attention so much, because it was so different and out there. I always got a kick out of weird stuff like, what if there's, you know, really, you know, creatures that live here and something else happening. And of course, you know, like, oh my God, you know, what if there's aliens? Which I'm sure there is. But no, I'm just saying, I just got a kick. I got a kick out of the alien episode and just things that were in the other one. I will not know the specific episode, because like I said, I remember this when it was syndicated like crazy, but since it's gone off the air, I have not revisited, so my memories of certain episodes, I don't know all, but I know there was the time where Zach and, Slater, I thought they got into a pretty heated fight, and what's weirder, they look like they embraced it. They actually looked like they were fighting. You know what I mean? It actually seemed like they were. That's why I liked how they got caught up in the moments, and it made it feel real, you know?
Yeah, that's when they were fighting over that one chick, right, to take her to the dance. And
Zach gets a fat lip, and Slater, I think, gets a black eye.
Yeah, and they both show up to the dance, and Belding thinks they're going to fight again, and they knock his little toupee in the fruit punch bowl.
After Zach and Slater are pouring punch down each other's shirt and pants, you know, all the girls are getting hyped up in the audience when they're watching that. And yeah, that was...
Zach never would have stood a chance, like, because Slater was an amateur wrestler, and he was, like, twice his size. There's no way.
I mean, Zach was in shape. You'd see that, you know, certain episodes, like, okay, Zach works out a little bit, but Slater was the definitive physical alpha male. Slater would have kicked his ass.
Yeah. I guess, you know, when they're doing the table read or something, I bet they were like, oh, well, you got to make it kind of almost equal.
Well, yeah, because I almost feel like, you know, Zach and Slater, I think as the show progressed, they both became stars of the show. I mean, Slater was such a favorite with the girls. And so with Zach, he kind of felt like, you know, they were almost equals. Like Slater wouldn't hesitate to undermine Zach, even when they were buddies, and he's referred to them as preppy, and they're slapping hands and hanging out. But you know, at times, they wouldn't hesitate to undermine the other if they felt like there could be some sort of female advantage or something like that. Like a prime episode is the Cutney episode, where they're buddies, but Slater bets Zach that he can't get out of cutting class all day for fear of being suspended.
Yeah, is that also the one with the radio contest and the bonsai tree where he's in detention?
Different episode.
The
Cut Day episode, that's where Jesse and Kelly are in that one, where Slater spends all day hanging out with Kelly, like at the beach and at the Max playing pool. So Zach's constantly trying to get out and get away from Belding without being caught.
But isn't it something too where like his grades aren't good enough to like cut, or he's missed too many days, or it's something like that.
He has to show up for every class, so Belding keeps showing up for each class to make sure Zach's there. So Zach comes up with excuses to get out of class, and they're buddies. But Slater is trying to make sure that he wins this bet while he's hanging out with Zach's girl all day, and Jesse's in school hanging out with Graham. So it's all these people are supposed to be good buddies, but they're all like, betraying each other all day for money or for love.
Well, it's just like when Slater was going to get his license and Zach was pissed because he had to wait like 6 months or something. Yeah. And he's trying to sabotage Slater's driving test.
See? No, you said it right there. That's the thing. That's why Zach did become, like, in my eyes, more of a villain than the guy that I enjoyed. Because when the show was first on, it was like, hey, cool guy. Like to be like Zach. Then here came Slater. It's like, damn, the kid is scary. He looks like he would have been the school bully. And their relationship, you know, it always felt for the longest that they just put up with each other. Like, they're trying to be nice, but still hate each other. It's like, then they became buddies, but it was like buddies that still could snap on each other. I always had that weird vibe. But then as it kept progressing, I was like, Zach is just messing stuff up all the time. And I was like, I think Slater's cooler. He's a cool dude. And Zach is the dickhead. It just seemed like it just changed for me with the, you know, the dynamic of those characters. For me, at least.
Well, they both wouldn't hesitate to exploit Screech. Like, both of them were guilty of abusing Screech's loyalty. So it's not like, you know, Zach was completely the only asshole on the show. If Slater could find some way. I mean, or look at this. The episode where Slater and Zach tried to bet who could kiss Tori first. So, they're, you know, taking advantage of this poor girl and just to see who's more alpha. You know, and they end up having, you know, Slater and Screech dancing, and then Zach feels bad about it, and she finds out about it, so he looks like the better guy, and Slater ends up dancing and kissing Screech. You know, it's just like all of this just to see who could you know, be the cooler guy with the girls. You know, just...
was I the only one? Because like I said, Lisa was my favorite, loved her to death, but I felt so bad, so damn bad for Screech, because, you know. Between Zach and Slater, you know, with Kelly and Jesse, you know, having their girls, just Screech is always obsessed on trying to get Lisa and just could never get her for them to be together. I wanted that to happen so bad. I felt so damn bad for him. It's like, I know he was more the comic relief, the goofy kid, the one that's always, like you said, getting picked on or doing the dumb antics, whatever it may be, but I just felt bad. It was almost like when I watched Family Matters and I always wanted Urkel, you know, to get with Laura. I always wanted that, you know, to happen. Then they split that off with that Urkel, and then, you know, I think Myra or whatever. Oh, God, I can't even remember her name. But they changed everything up to where the characters I wanted to see never happened. I don't know. I just felt bad. I wanted Screech to always at least get with, you know, Lisa.
F. What about that?
What was that?
When Screech ends up getting his own girl in Violet Ann Bickerstaff, played by Tori Spelling on the show.
Oh, the nerdy girl with glasses and pigtails or whatever?
Kelly, she made a pretty hot nerdy girl. Hell, I'd date her too, except for the snorting she would do all the time.
That just didn't do it for me. Because then it was like saying, okay, Screech is a nerd, so let's give him a nerdy girlfriend. I was like, it just didn't work. Why couldn't he just got the hot girl?
It did work. I mean, look at all the nerds on the show. They were all wearing clothes from the 70s and pocket protectors.
No, I'm saying I didn't like that. What they gave him was a nerdy girl, you know, for, like you said, sure, to be kind of his girlfriend. I wanted him to get the hot girl. I wanted him to get Lisa, and it just sucked.
Right. Well, Screech at times would get the girl, like in the episode where they had the army recruit show up, and they have to pair off in teams, and he ends up getting that cute blonde girl who's dating the kind of, you know, looks like Shane Douglas guy.
Yeah. It's like Shane Douglas. I can't place what she looked like. I'm just thinking of Shane Douglas, of all people. Why would you do that?
Was she somebody that came back, though? That's what I meant. It's like, I just wanted him to be with one of the recurring cast members. Like I said, so Lisa was always, once in a while, she'd have a boyfriend, and Lisa Screech could, but I just wish they could have just played on that element, at least maybe for some episodes of let them be together, then maybe next season, oh, something happens, whatever, and then he can go out and pursue new girls, she could pursue new guys. I just felt bad for Screech not getting any. Not getting Lisa. Just
he got some magic. Remember the episode where Zach ends up getting Lisa, and he has to like embrace the fact that he can't have Lisa and this and that. And then Jesse comes over and says, "You did good, Screech." He's like, "Did I ever tell you that you have a lovely Adam's apple?" And then kisses her on the spot. So he got some of Jesse too.
Yeah, I guess a little bit in that aspect, but
of all the kind of maybe reoccurring characters or characters that would show up every so often, what would be your top three? Like, either they had one episode or they would show up periodically, like Mr. Tuttle And my personal favorite was, damn it, I watched his episode not too long ago, but he was in two episodes, and he played the kind of extra waiter at the Max who was an actor. And he portrayed Zach's father and Mr. Belding in one episode, like trying to fool the other.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, it's a damn it, I can't. And he was my favorite one-off character on the show, but he also showed up in the episode about the SATs, trying to be the guy from Harvard.
Oh, yeah, so he acts real proper and everything, the way he spoke. Yeah.
In time with a pipe that breaks and, you know, brings in his Harvard stand and smacks it up. You know, it's Miss Billy Goat Cheese, ham sandwiches, you're not good enough for Harvard, you know. God, it was so funny, man. And Zach, and there's a shot too where Zach's sitting there in front of him, and he's sitting there screaming and yelling, you're not good enough for Harvard. We're after Jessica Spano, and Zach's sitting there trying not to laugh while they're filming. It was so funny.
Oh, really? He was actually almost laughing? That was like...
Yeah. If you watch the episode about the SATs where Jesse's being rejected by Stansberry, and they have... damn it, I can't believe... The actor's name is Mark Blankenfield, or Blankfield.
Okay.
But anyway, when he comes in... And trying to be someone from Harvard, and he's overacting, and Zach, he keeps rejecting everybody, saying, we're here for Jessica Spano, we're here, I'm getting other episodes confused here, but when Zach comes in, and trying to say, look, I got 1,500 on my SATs, he's like, one lucky test on a Saturday morning, just mocking for it, and Zach's sitting there at the table, looking away, and he's smiling the whole time, he's sitting there screaming and yelling, and saying, I'm after Jessica Spano, and it's so one of those few times where they kept the camera going, because you almost feel like, you know what, he was there's another that happens a few times throughout the show, but I swear if you guys go back and watch it, Zach's about ready to break character and start laughing during the scene.
I'll try to YouTube it after we're done. That's if we can. Gavin, can you even YouTube Saved by the Bell or no?
Do a Google search for watch Saved by the Bell online. The same website that you can find the X-Men animated series and. There's a couple of other shows I've looked up, but the Spider-Man, a cartoon from the 80s. If you look up, watch Saved by the Bell online, you can find the entire series of episodes, except the Miss Bliss episode. I don't think those are on there, and who cares?
Yeah.
But all those are on there to watch for free. Just Google search, watch Saved by the Bell online, and I forgot what it's called, too, but I've watched, because I got all of my DVD, but I like to watch them on my phone sometimes, and they're all available to watch for free, and that one's on there, too, and that actor is on two episodes, and
I'm trying to look at side characters now, and he's not popping up in this list. But it is kind of giving me some ideas when you're saying top three. Like, you definitely got to, for me anyway. I got to throw Big Pete in there because he showed up a lot.
Oh yes, yeah. Which they call him Pete, I think in the school episodes, but in the Malibu Sands episode, he shows up as Big Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Malibu Sands are some of my favorite episodes.
Were those the ones where they were like working for the summer, or somebody was getting married to, or some shit?
That was when Jesse's father was getting married to the fitness instructor. That was at the some sort of beach club. But Malibu Sands was another beach club where they go and work for the summer. Like Lisa's there as a guest, hanging out the whole time. Jesse.
Was that when Zach was with, as somebody brought up in the chat room, but Leah Remini, the girl from
AC Carosi?
Mm. Yeah, AC Carosi. Gosh, she was hot, man. Oh, my God.
And didn't she have an attitude in that? Didn't she have, like, kind of like a...
At first, she's like, oh, I'm the boss's daughter. I'm going to do this. And then, Zach worked his charm, and then her panties melted off.
Yeah, because it's funny how sometimes first impressions can stick with you, because I always thought, damn, that girl, I mean, yeah, she's mean. So when King of Queens came out, with her and Kevin James, I was like, oh, damn, that's that girl from Saved by the Bell that really pissed me off all the time. And, of course, then she carries an attitude, and King of Queens has that attitude. That's kind of weird. She's hot, but I was like, damn, she's got an attitude on her.
But at least because she comes in, like, thinking Zach's some sort of lazy moron who wants to surf all the time. So she comes in with, a chip on her shoulder, just being a real bitch. When Zach hasn't, Zach's, I think it bothers her that Zach is charming the guests and flirting with, the pretty blondes on the beach and stuff like that. So she immediately is put off by his, all this guy wants to do is pick up on girls. But Zach is not doing anything, in those episodes. Like, he does a pretty good job. Like, he's a good waiter. He's not like he calls in or doesn't show up for work. He's always there. You don't see a single episode like Mr. Croesus just doesn't like Zach. Like, he's just convinced too that he's just a lazy beach bum too. But, you know, Zach doesn't do a whole lot that I can remember that would justify, you know, their, other than they just don't like the fact that he flirts with girls all the time and, you know, is hitting on the guests.
I think Mr. Croesus is good judge of character. Like I said, Zach, he did become big aster in that show the whole time.
That's what Zach does, but it's not like Zach was loafing off on the job. It's not like he was not doing, you know, being a waiter, or he was, like the episode where they double book the two parties, where they had the bratty 16-year-old birthday party and the senior's 80th anniversary, whatever the hell it was. Like, Zach decides to help Stacy how to figure out how we can make these two parties go off at the same time because her father screwed up the booking. So that's a prime episode of Zach's not thinking about himself. He's trying to help her and her father save face for the club and not trying to think of himself in this episode. Or the episode, like the 4th of July episode, where he's being asked to be a judge. And instead of picking Stacy because he's dating her, he picks Kelly because Kelly gave a better speech.
Yeah, but that's not going to work when she knows that you've already been boning her for however many years.
Yeah, well, that's after Screech, you know, screws the pooch and says, oh yeah, they've been dating for a long time. And that's, you know, Kelly comes over and says, dude, we don't date anymore. You know, that was a long time ago, which was probably just recent school year, but still, you know, it's like
2 weeks ago.
Weeks ago. But Zach's still being portrayed as like, I couldn't just pick her because I got the hots for her and I'll be in her panties later tonight. You know, he's trying to do the right thing. At least that's an episode where, you know, Zach's seen as the bad guy, but he was doing the right thing.
I wish they would syndicate it again. It's been so long.
It was amazing that, and I think a lot of people were still shocked that it was in syndication, you know, I mean, well into the 2000s still at 8 o'clock in the morning. And now they've taken off and Married with Children replaced it, which is another fantastic classic.
Oh, boy, yeah.
It's a shame, though, that the show doesn't come on still in syndication on any channel.
It's a shocker. No, that is. It's a shocker because I don't remember any bad press about the show. So it's like, why couldn't you syndicate it again? You know, put it on, like you said, a little earlier. I mean, I love Married with Children to death. And, of course, I watch reruns of that like crazy. Of course, they edit out so many things and there's pieces that are missing. So you have to see them usually on DVD. But, yeah, I would love to see Saved by the Bell come back because every time you're mentioning one of the episodes, it's like, bam, memories come back. But, like, off the top of my head, I can't remember a lot of the things. Once you say it, boom, it's there again.
I almost feel like we're not going to talk about this if somebody does. The college years.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody asked about that in the chat room. Yeah. I didn't get a kick out of that. I
liked it a lot, too. It's a damn shame that I can't get it on DVD because it's, well, I could, but it's like I'd have to pay out the ass for it.
Why is it so expensive on DVD?
I don't know. I don't know if that's somehow a rights issue or just once they decided to take it out of print, it skyrocketed in price. But like I look at it now, and I would have to spend a good like $80 to $100 just to get that set.
Oh wow, yeah. No kidding. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and it was Jason. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was Jason Chapman in the chat room who mentioned about College Years earlier. He said the cast was decent. He said Bob, is it Golic or Golic? He said was Golic. Good memory.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic, and he's one of my favorite characters.
He was a great Mr. Belding kind of character, you know, the guy that's trying to keep.
Was that the buff dude with the
mullet?
Oh, okay, with the mullet. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I remember them. Like I said, I don't know. They were. It was there for me, but I still just like Saved by the Bell when they're in high school, and like I said, not the Miss Bliss stuff, but I just like the earlier stuff when it came to the college years. Of like. And then when that new class came, I was like, oh, I don't give two craps about the new class.
I think I tried to watch it once or twice on Saturday morning. Like, man, this show sucks.
It was pretty bad. It definitely didn't recapture just that magic of the original. And I'm kind of surprised now that they haven't attempted to remake it. I'm really surprised they haven't tried to remake it.
Give Disney or NBC or anybody or Nickelodeon some god-awful idea where they cast like these 13-year-olds trying to be cool with all the cell phone and Twitter and Facebook terminology. God, it would be awful.
Yeah, when you try to imitate, you know, the magic that existed for some of these shows or movies, it just, it falls flat. Especially any...
Could easily have, like, fallen to the test of time, where a show like this could easily be seen as like, oh God, this is really corny. But no, this is a show that actually the humor, I find it more funnier as an adult. I mean, I laughed a lot as a kid, but I laugh even more as an adult. You know, there's just certain things that I find much more humorous as an adult that I didn't find as funny as a kid. It's a show that, and people still like the show. It's a show that's still celebrated. Like, the cast is still, I know they probably feel like they've been typecast for so long because all of them had such a hard time finding work after the show.
Well, hell, I mean, but it was memorable for them. And that show, but, like you said, it was absolutely iconic. It's an iconic show. It is aged very well. Yeah. And it's one of the things that I would never want to see a new reboot, version of it on TV with new group of kids. Just like there's some movies I consider sacred, like never do a remake or a different version, like The Goonies. If they
it's gonna happen eventually.
It better not. Goonies just better never be touched. Gremlins, the original movie, better never be touched.
Hey, they're trying to do a Gremlins 3.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay, I don't mind.
You're right with it. Like, if years have passed, if they bring back the original cast and make a proper sequel, are you fine with that? Or do you think that it might be a situation, like with Goonies, for example, you know, most of those guys, like Josh Brolin, Sean Astin, they're in their like late 30s, mid 40s at this point. Is that going to like take it out too much for you? Or,
well, okay, like let's say something for like, you know, the Goonies. If, you know, they were to make a sequel, and let's say they have the kids are now adults and maybe have their kids and whatever they might want to try, I don't mind something like that. Same thing with Gremlins. If they did a third one and it's still spinning in another story, I don't mind it. But some movies, when they just try to remake it, and it's not because I grew up with it, it's just some movies are classic, and when they try to remake, it seems like it falls flat. Like, I think they even tried to, like, I remember Footloose. I got a kick out of Footloose, the original movie. Sure, you know, I did like Footloose. But then they tried to make a modern update of Footloose. Just wasn't there. I don't know if sometimes it's just in my head, my old memories, but it sure seems like it's said by fans too, because then you see these things fail at the box office. You don't hear people really talking about how great it was. It's like, just try a new movie. Or like I said, a sequel, go with sequels, but some I just don't want remade. And as for Saved by the Bell, if they did a new class for a new generation, maybe it would be great. Maybe, but it's not going to have that magic. I guess, yeah, but there's an 80s magic.
The new class, I mean, to me, that was a reboot. That was when you're bringing back Mr. Belding and Street as a kind of a teacher's assistant or a principal assistant, you're trying to remake Saved by the Bell with the new cast. It just, nobody cared. Like,
yeah, I think you said it. Right there, you kind of said it. I don't think it is me holding on to a childhood, because you just gave a perfect example of how some things just work. Like, you know, Good Morning, Miss Bliss. Those episodes, I grew up with them just like I grew up with the other Saved by the Bell episodes that came after. But that Good Morning, Miss Bliss, just didn't like it. And then here came college years. For me, I didn't flip over it. Had the same damn a lot of the cast that we had before. Just didn't do anything for me. And then the new class just didn't do it for me. It's just, I don't know. Some things, when it seems like it's golden, it's good, I enjoy it. It's like, hell, you can just see that was great for what it was. Just leave some things alone. I mean, I know they tried, yeah.
Well, I mean, new class did last for a long time. That lasted 6-7 years, didn't it?
You're shitting.
That long.
I'll do a quick research while Tyler.
Okay. Well, just to let you know, I guess the reason.
I'm going to kind of wreck what Joe said here.
Okay.
You know, whereas, like, I get why Joe says that, you know, the Saved by the Bell that we all know is the best, and it is the best. However, I felt the college years was justifiable because, you know, there's something to say about that. Whereas, you know, when you're making, you know, sequel, like a sequel to Goonies now, like, dude, that wouldn't make any sense. I don't want to see, you know, Mouth and Mikey and Bran and Data and Chunk as adults with kids. Like, no. If you were going to do a sequel, it had to have been done in the 80s when they were maybe a year or two older. Like, they go on some sort of other treasure hunt or some kind like that. There's nothing to say about them being adults with kids and the kids go on their own adventure and the parents get involved. Like, there's nothing to say there. A third Gremlins movie, what's there to say? You know, you've done it one other time where, unfortunately, probably the budget wasn't big enough for the actual Gremlins to break out into New York. But at least there was something to say with a sequel. But that's why I feel like another Saved by the Bell, like the college years, that there's a story behind them going to college and Zach trying to be a con artist in college, yeah. You know, and trying to romance Kelly, but Kelly's after an older man. There's so much to be said with that.
Her teacher, her professor, nonetheless.
Now that's, you know, kind of a common storyline.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong there.
Yeah, and Zach's pissed off about it and trying to, you know, expose it to everybody. You know, go ahead, Nathan.
I brought this up here. Yeah, it lasted, it looks like 6 or 7 seasons because it premiered in 93 and the final episode date was January 2000.
Well, I guess because, again, I didn't enjoy the show. Yeah, I didn't know.
I never hear anybody talk about it.
Well, it's, I mean, you don't hear that usually talked about and, you know, in groups and anywhere as much as the original Saved by the Bell, but you're saying it lasts 6, 7 years. The reason I didn't know is, well, because I watched some of that first season, hated it, and I guess it just was blocked out of my mind to even know that they kept going with it. So I guess that explains that, but I did want to once say one thing where regards to Tyler and Goonies. You know what always drove me nuts? I love the movie, but I always thought at the end, when you seen, you know, the pirate ship going by in the water, I was like, get a fucking boat! Get a speedboat and go out there and get that gold! When the ship is busted out.
The point, though, they really can't. We took some for ourselves, then they had to dump it because of the Fratellis, and they realized, you know what? Leave it alone. This is
that's me just picturing, you know, you wonder what could have happened after the cameras aired or what these people did. It's like, oh, I could picture everybody getting in a damn boat, going to that damn ship, getting as much gold as they can before the thing sunk into the water. I'd freak out when they see that pirate ship. I always love Goonies. God, that's going to be a fun episode when we talk about that. Oh my God, when that he sees all that.
A commentary for like that. Oh, that needs a commentary. So Joe, get your shit together and get something set up to where we can do a commentary for the Goonies.
Thank you. Always just make sure you always remind people that yes, it is me that usually holds shit back. I will find a way. I'll make sure I'm able to watch it and we do commentary for when the, you know, Goonies comes.
Yes, I settle for a retrospect discussion. I want to do a commentary for the Goonies with you guys. I do not want to do just that should be our first commentary is doing the Goonies. So Joe, if we don't do it, it's because we're all going to point at you and say, well, Joe refused to upgrade his Taliban technology. So, you know, we can't do a commentary, or Joe can just sit and pretend like he just listened to us as me and Nathan do commentary for it. We can do it that way.
Hey, whatever makes you feel good about destroying me, that's fine, because I'm sure it's going to happen. But,
Tyler over here being Zach Morris right now.
Yeah, there you go. Well, before we...
I was in fourth grade when the show was real popular with me and my classmates, and I used to dress with a button-up silk shirts a lot in fourth grade, and I was after Whitney White, and I remember Nathan knows who I'm talking about. We had a group of five of us. Whitney Taylor was this loudmouth girl. I mean, everybody liked her because she was just loud lounge. We always preferred, she was like the Lisa of fourth grade. I was the Zach Morris. Whitney White was Kelly Kapowski. Tara Minnick was Jesse Spano. And Nathan knows this. Jesse Overstreet was the AC Slater of the group. So, yeah, that doesn't even make any sense.
Fourth grade. You guys are terrible at deciding who's going to be what character.
But hey, at least I was Zach Morris. I was happy with that. I had blonde hair, silk, you know, dressed up shirts and stuff like that. So
you have a big fake cell phone that looked like his big old giant one. Cell
phone, but you know, I did get a kiss from Whitney White the last day of school. So
there you go. That's what I do. I remember. I thought it was cool as shit. They had at some stores, they had this big ass cell phone, looked just like those monster ones Zach had that you could murder somebody with. But it was just a mock-up. It was a shell, and you could hit buttons, and it would go beep, beep, beep. It made sound effects, but it wasn't a real phone. It was just a shell. And I took it to school. And so I was like, oh, my God, you got a cell phone? Yeah, I got a cell phone. So I felt so, like, proud. But, of course, then they found out that Joe was just hitting fake buttons, and it doesn't do shit. That's all I could get. But, well, Nathan, before we obviously wrap this up, I think it'd be good if we could just say our top three females of the series, and I'm going to save mine in order from what I like the hottest to least hottest on top three.
Lisa and Lisa.
Wait, are we ranking just the core characters, or are we just hey, any you know,
bring in any of the girls you want. And but I'm well because I'm so used to the others, and like I said, I don't have much memories on the well, hold on, wait a second. Okay, number one is Lisa. Number two is that damn nurse. And number three is Jesse. But Kelly was always down for me. She was never one of my favorites. But I'm going to go Lisa, that hot nurse, and Jesse. That's my hot to going down, top to bottom.
All right, Tyler, you go ahead with yours. I'm still thinking about mine.
I'm going to go with Jesse from the Haunted Mansion episode. Because she looked awesome in that episode.
He's picking specific episodes,
yeah,
too.
Of course, Tyler's going to be very episode specific.
Yes.
God. I mean, she was from high heels and nylons. Jesus Christ. Let's see. Then I'm going to have to go with Kelly from the senior year. Yeah, I mean, she just was, Kelly looked her hottest with the long, straight hair and like a little, like, I don't know if it's not a tortoise clip, some sort of like little hair thing in the back of her. Oh, man, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then the third one would probably have to be, I was trying to think of some of the kind of one-off girls. You know, I really liked the female wrestler that Zach had a thing for. I cannot remember her name. I remember all these characters all the time. Now I'm drawing a blank on her. But I probably have to go with the female wrestler that Zach was after.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that list. All right. Now, Nathan.
All right. I'm going to go with Kelly, number one, not episode specific, just Kelly through the whole run. I think number two, I'm going to have to go with that nurse. And then number three.
Hell, if we had a nurse like that in school, I would have been sick every damn day going to school. Boy.
Every day.
I guess I'd have to go with Jesse.
Okay.
It was either going to be between Jesse and potentially Stacy Carosi. Potentially.
Stacy Carosi is my actually, you know what? I'm going to put Stacy number two. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to knock out the female wrestler, put Kelly down to third place. So Jesse from the Haunted Mansion episode, Stacy Carosi from the 4th of July episode, and then Kelly from senior year. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That is a concrete. No, that is done. That is concrete. You can put that in the vault.
Well, now that you said that,
episode, I would love you know, since she's not a Scientologist anymore, I would love to go to Malibu Sands with her sometime.
Well, two quick things. One, Jake in the chat room said, for his favorite, Jesse from Showgirls. So about that. Then he gave his real
climax without taking your clothes off, man. Now that's talent.
Then he gave his real top. After that, he gave his real top three. He said Kelly, the nurse, and Jesse. So I think he picked exactly what he picked. And Chris Simpson in the chat room said, we should prepare screenshots of our favorites. So I know Tyler will be able to find every specific thing he just said. Me, I'll just pick the girls and, I don't know, whatever episodes I can, because I love Lisa all the way through, Jesse all the way through, and of course we just got the nurse in the one specific episode. But, yeah, I think we will screenshot stuff. So
we'll have to revisit this show and do commentaries for this. Like, I'd like to do the Haunted Mansion episode with you guys, too, or the
So we can hear you talk about Jesse through the whole episode. Oh, God damn it.
Well, Lisa's rocking a hot outfit in that, too. You know,
you just start in the background, you just hear like a faint, like.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on?
You know, and I'm like, Jesse,
Oh, Jesus. Nathan, you figure a way to wrap it up. We're losing it.
Well, I guess before we do wrap it up, we should talk at least briefly about Mr. Belding, because I guess the episode, it's kind of strange, like him and his wife aren't getting along, and he shows up at Zach's house and is just like hanging out in his bedroom all day.
Free pizza.
How awkward would that have been to have the principal of your school come to your house? That's strange.
Not at all.
That is just, to me, bizarre. It was like, it's like when you've seen your teacher in this very rare occasion at the store. It's like, wait, what's going on here? Am I supposed to call you Mrs.? Am I supposed to listen to you? I'm here with my mom and dad. I feel awkward. And that's happened at the store where you've seen the teacher and you're going to school and you see the teacher at a store. It's just uncomfortable because it's weird seeing them in like real life. I don't know. There's certain times with certain things like that.
Well, and it came off as like an uncle, like the cool uncle to a lot of these guys, because he almost felt like, even though it is because of the show, but you bought the idea that this guy interacts with this particular group of students more than anybody else in the school, from yearbook to various activities that are going on, school trips and stuff like that, plus of how often Zach was in his office all the time anyway. And he knew Zach was a good student, but Zach was always in trouble, conning people and doing this and that. He all knew they were good kids. And he didn't hesitate to try and, you know, be good to them and try to direct them the right way. But he himself was just a big goof anyway, you know.
I liked him. No, you're right. That's from Mr. You'd wish that you could have had a principal. You wish you could have had a principal like Mr. Belding, because
I think me and Nathan had a Mr. Belding in our school. I don't think we wouldn't have hesitated to, like, you know, hang out and talk to him in his office or something like that.
Yeah, you could feel comfortable talking with him, unlike a lot of the
Belding. Because he was so down to earth and naive at times and fancied himself, you know. When he's talking to Zach that one episode, he puts on like a button up sweater, pulls out a pipe, says, "What are you, Mr. Rogers? You're in the neighborhood." The kind of goof that he was, you felt like, you know what, it's not far fetched for him to hang out with the kids outside of school.
Yeah, and he made you feel comfortable, meaning it's not like when, you know, the principals of your other schools, you feared them, you hated seeing them, and you rarely seen them because most of the time they might have just been behind their doors the whole time. They were usually scary. But Mr. Belding, no, he was comfortable. He's joking with them. He had his classic laugh, you know, I can't, you know, replicate his laugh, but I always liked hearing Mr. Belding laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always had a smile and seemed like nice.
And going out with his niece Penny. Now what kind of principal would do that? You either risk suspension or you're gonna take my niece out on Saturday night. I mean
right.
Now that's a ballsy principal. Now that's only, you know, a Mr. Belding could get away with black.
Yeah, I mean, he was just trying to get Zach laid.
There you go.
Zach had gone through a little dry spell and he was just trying to hook him up.
Yeah. And of course, everyone thinks he's going to look, that Penny's going to look like Mr. Belding. Like when Slater's got that bubble over his head and he's picturing Mr. Belding with like a black wig on and makeup. He's like, oh, God. You know, but then she shows up as this really attractive blonde girl who's like got the hots for Screech, you know, dressed up in, you know, Zach clothes. And Kelly gets all pissed off about it. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, like, Kelly cheated on Zach with what's his face at the Max.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. You know, Kelly. Even in the same damn two-parter, you know, she cheats on Zach with an older guy, and somehow Zach's the asshole in the episode. Like, everybody.
What was his name?
Jeff.
Jeff. Every time I watch Starship Troopers, I'm like, yeah, Jeff, that's what you get for
sucked out, you douchebag. Did you guys ever see the E! Entertainment special about Saved by the Bell, where they interviewed the actor who played Jeff and Leah Remini? And Jeff says, like, people on the street would say, "Hey, what are you doing? Out stealing Zach's girlfriend?" You know, just yelling stuff like that. Or Leah's like, "Oh man, I remember from that show." She's like, "King of Queens." Like, "No, Saved by the Bell." You know, it was so cool to hear that they were getting that kind of reaction from people on the street. Like, people didn't give a shit about all the other stuff. It's what they did on Saved by the Bell.
Pretty much. I'm trying to right now, just to, if you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm trying to replicate Tyler and back of him. He has a sword and shield. This is my only sword and shield I can put there since I don't have the life side props.
What the hell are you doing right now?
I'm doing my Burger King prop. I had to do it. So yeah, since you got your sword and shield in the background and life size, I'm doing my
the bell here.
I'm sorry.
What Tyler's doing in the background? I'm not doing anything in the background here.
Hey, this is called just breaking the kayfabe or the suspense of the show. I'm just doing something different. Like, there's my sword and shield. It's from Burger King. That's my little plug right there.
Reenact or recreate the madness from the Christmas special episode where you run outside trying to get your neighborhood children? Where you just holding up something random and, you know?
That was iconic. That was very iconic. I did want to say, though, Chris Simpson in the chat room is like, "How much does this guy bench?" So go ahead, Tyler. How much you bench?
I haven't done a max bench in a long time, but the most I ever got was 360.
See, there you go. So there you go. Find out T-Rex is benching.
All I do now is around like 325, 330. I just stick to that right now, and yeah, just because of how dangerous it is to bench a lot more than that. But yeah, about that, yeah.
No, well, there you go.
We talked about what Tyler benches, and like Joe plugged Burger King, and I was actually thinking about Burger King yesterday. I was like, you know what?
I'm in the mood for French toast.
Burger King in a little while.
There you go. Get their whatever. They got some new sandwich with tons of bacon and big ass patties and stuff. Just if you're gonna go there, go all out and get that big ass sandwich, whatever they.
There we go. Yeah. We got an LE sponsors down for this show.
There you go. Man, Burger King is a sponsor for this podcast.
Exactly. I'm mentioning sandwiches I don't even know the name for. Get that big ass sandwich at Burger King.
Yeah, I mean, Joe and I can just tweet at Burger King. It's like, hey, we do this podcast and we mentioned you in it. Give us a retweet.
Coupons.
And you can do the podcast. The podcast live from like Burger King in Dublin.
There we go.
Ball pit, you know.
How great would that be?
Shows he runs and jumps in the ball pit. And you're like, we'll see you next week. You know.
Hey, they don't have a ball pit anymore. They took that out.
What?
I never knew.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, when you think about it, those ball pits, like, I never thought about it as a kid, but think about just the germs, like how gross that was.
Kids that never wiped their ass properly.
I'm sure there were kids that, like, squirted in their pants a little bit and just, like, drained out and got on the balls and that got rolled around. So I'm sure at some point when we were playing in those things, we were rolling around in other kids' shit and piss.
We never had that, thank goodness. We never had a ball pit for Burger King around here. Never seen them. They were just isolated to one particular McDonald's. But, yeah, I was never even in that one either. But, yeah, thanks. It makes you want to go there now.
Yeah, we had a lot of balls at our Burger King. They were actually kind of common, you know, like the one in Christian. Oh, yeah. Well, I will close the episode with this famous Nathan story here at Burger King. Actually, we got two Burger King stories. This is all improv. If we had not gotten to Burger King, I would not be able to tell these stories.
All right, we'll do the stories on these. We'll give our final thoughts on Saved by the Bell, and we'll wrap it up.
I will tell these stories real quick. Is that we went to a Burger King in Roanoke where we're going to go see it was either Collateral or Alien versus Predator.
It was Alien versus Predator.
Alien versus Predator, and we get there before we go to the movie, and I get my order. Our friend Joshua gets his order. My brother gets his order. Nathan can't get his, and for some reason they keep.
I ordered mine first. By the way,
Nathan orders his first, and they never do get it right. And this is back when Nathan's temper was it was just like Nathan would have fit very well in the back in the locker room of a WWF locker room. Like, this is the kind of guy Nathan would be shitting in people's bags.
Oh God, yeah.
Dang. So anyway, Nathan decides he's gonna take his revenge out and go to the bathroom and piss all over the walls at Burger King in Roanoke.
He
went in there and just sprayed the wall. He just told us about it. We didn't see it, but he told us he went there and pissed all over the bathroom walls of this Burger King, couldn't get his order right. And it was just like, oh my, and you didn't feel like you had to question it because, like, no, I can see Nathan doing that.
I waited like 25 fucking minutes for my food. You guys were already done by the time I got my food.
So this next one, it was just me and Nathan to this other one, to this Burger King that's in Christiansburg.
Now everyone listening is going to pinpoint where we live.
Yeah, well, why not? You know, they can come here. We're like the stars of this area. Like, we'll get maps of the stars and stuff like that. They come check out all the things.
They've been looking for the guy who pissed on their walls from years ago, and now they got your ass.
So we go to the one at Christiansburg. We were out shopping for movies and toys and stuff like that. And this little short pint-sized guy was taking our orders, and he takes my order and gives me my food. And then Nathan's still waiting for his, and Nathan asked for a milkshake. And while he's asking,
I didn't ask for a milkshake. He's getting the story wrong. I didn't ask for a milkshake at all.
All right, but anyway, I could have swore because a customer came up next to Nathan and returned a drink he didn't want.
All right, I'm gonna jump in this story.
All right, so I
ordered chicken nuggets, chicken tenders. Yeah. I ordered a burger and fries, and you know, he's handling our money and everything, and at Burger King, you know how behind them they had, like, they shoot the little stuff down. Anyway, my tenders come down and they hit the thing and they spill out a little bit, and he turns and he goes over, and with his hands that he's just touched with all this money, starts like fondling them to put them back. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not eating those. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of this, while I'm watching this happen, there's a milkshake that's sitting on the counter that's off to the side. This guy comes up and he was like, I ordered a chocolate milkshake. He had a vanilla one in his hand. This chocolate milkshake has been sitting there when we got there, when Tyler and I got there. And he does that. The guy goes over to the end of the counter, picks that up, and goes to hand it to him. The guy's like, I don't want that one. That one's been, like, sitting there for however long. And the guy's like, oh, okay, whatever, whatever. So I'm not eating the chicken tenders. I finally get the rest of my food, and I go and I sit down, and I take a bite into my burger, and it's just, like, lukewarm, like, almost cold in the middle. Like, the bite that I took was just lukewarm borderline cold, right? So, Tyler, I'm going to have a coughing fit now. Tyler is done with his food. I'm sitting there. I'm like, all right, let's go. And we're walking, and we go out the door, and Tyler looks at me and is like, I you still got your burger? And I was like, yeah, I know.
Oh, boy.
And he's walking to the car, and I just turn around, and I take it out of the wrapper, and I just, like, throw it, and it smacks against the door. And the guy, like, looks, and you just see it start to streak and smear down. He looks at me, and I just give him the middle finger and walk away.
You know, Nathan, dude, I could see that being stuff that I could do, too. And like I said, you've calmed down through years, so have I, because there's nothing more I hate than when somebody screws your order up. And for whatever reason, when I'd go anywhere, it seemed like my order was always the one that got messed up. I don't like when my food is being messed up. People have, yes, I completely feel your pain.
Well, it's not so much either about them, like, messing the food up. In both cases, it was a thing of, like, this dumbass cashier who's been handling money and everything, just, like, bare hand touching the food. And I can't stand the thing about this story, because Tyler's over there, like, dying. He tells everybody that burger, that one in particular. He tells everybody that story.
Well, that is a cool story.
The sound of that burger slammed that window. It was like the whole town of Christiansburg heard the sound of that wham! It was. I'll never forget it. And then another short story is Nathan slamming a taco salad in the hallway in the doorway of Wendy's. And
all right, yeah. All right, I'll go ahead and tell this one too, I guess. We went into Wendy's. I was there with my girlfriend at the time, and you know, the cashier's there, not really paying attention to us. Look at Tyler's just dying in the background. She's not paying attention to us, and like her friends or her family or someone's there, and they're all just hanging out talking, and we finally give our order, and my girlfriend gets her salad, and we sit down, and she's like, this, you know, this isn't what I asked for. It's even on the receipt. So I take it up there, or she takes it up there, and it's like, hey, this isn't what I ordered. This is on the receipt. And she was like, no, that's what you ordered. And just, like, basically brushed her off. She brought it back over, and she's like, well, I'm not going to eat this. I'm like, okay. I was like, go to the car. She's like, what? I was like, go to the car. And there's the little, you know, you have the entrance, and there's, like, a little tiny spot, and there's another door where you actually go in, and you're actually in the restaurant, right? So she's still talking, not minding any business, and I'm like, oh, you know, they're standing there talking. I'm not working. Looks like they need something to do. So I just took it. This was like a salad that had like chili and everything in it. I just took it, and we went through that little spot in between the doors, and I just dumped it in the floor and just walked out. I'm like, you guys will have fun cleaning that up and give you something to do.
Yeah, actually, yeah. They can do something instead of talking to each other or sometimes even on their phones. I've seen that at places.
Yeah.
So. Good for you, Nathan.
Short fuse back then, man. Jesus.
My fuse is a little bit better. It's still not great where it should be, but it's better than that.
Good for you, man.
I would hope anyway.
Yeah, make them earn that money since they're not doing it half the time. So, hey, you got to do some stuff, do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, my final thoughts for Saved by the Bell. Like I said, I loved it growing up. Not the early crap, not the later crap. I just like the stuff in between, if you will. At least it was always my favorite. I wish they would put it back on syndication so I could catch it again and get a little more, you know, familiarized with it.
Or, you know, we could just buy you the DVDs or something for, like, your birthday.
Nope, that's cool. You
don't want to do that, are you?
No, but thanks for that offer. But, yes, yeah.
As long as we buy a custom from Joe's, oh, wow, well, they bought something from me. I can't reject it now.
Here we go. No, I love the show. Like, Saved by the Bell, it was great. It was syndicated for, God, it seemed like 20-some years, and, yeah, I love it. And people out there, if you haven't seen it before, which... I couldn't imagine, but maybe you haven't. If you haven't, give it a shot.
My friend Mitz that popped in the chat hasn't seen it or doesn't recall it. So there's people out there. I imagine most of the guys that watched us today have seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, those are my final thoughts.
I'll give mine real quick. I know I kind of crapped on it slightly a bit. I love Saved by the Bell. It's just funny when you go back now and watch some of the episodes, it's like, man, that was a really shitty thing, or that's really awkward.
Yeah.
like with Belding being there in the in Zach's bedroom and everything, and you know, that other episode where they were sneaking around taking pictures of the girls to sell a calendar. That's, you know, that's fishy. But no, I love Saved by the Bell. Miss Bliss is what it is, and I love the college years. Didn't care for New Class like you guys. Those are my thoughts.
Oh, hands down, the best teen sitcom that's ever been done, before or since, or at, you know, it covered a lot of ground. They covered a lot of, you know, not just cliche stories that teenagers would go through, but just some kind of, you know, just crazy interaction stories, from various, you know, girl troubles to guy troubles to, you know, tests and driving. And it was, they covered all over the place, you know, getting a job and working at the beach and stuff like that. So it was in a lot of characters that were a lot of fun to watch. Like, even though you may have been pulling for Slater more than Zach, or Zach more than Slater, you still love the entire cast. Like, even though I had my problems with Lisa being a bit of a smart ass, I still liked Lisa. She was part of that group. I would not have wanted to see anybody else in that role. And to me, it's the quintessential teen show. You've got, you know, quintessential teen movies like The Breakfast Club and Some Kind of Wonderful and Weird Science. I mean, Saved by the Bell is that of television. Like, there's been some other shows about, you know, kids probably in their early teens. I hold Salute Your Shorts in its own Hall of Fame when it comes to kind of young teenagers getting into hijinks. Like, to me, that's it's a separate wing in the Hall of Fame of teenager television shows. But say what
about, like, even Degrassi High, I don't know if you remember that. That was a good one too.
I've never seen Degrassi. It just
was good.
It never came on in our area, so I like heard about it. I may have come across it once or twice, but I've never seen it to this day. But for me personally, Saved by the Bell is the quintessential teenager show. I don't see them recapturing that same kind of magic, because it could have been a show that just would have been super corny and, you know, oh, make you roll your eyes, and sometimes it were. But overall, there's still fun episodes from their early years in high school to their later years, and even when they go outside the school. So it's a show that still stands the test of time. The characters are likable. The one-off characters are likable, and it's aged very well. Oddly enough, it really has, and it's just a blast. It's a lot of fun to watch. You know, not just from a nostalgia point of view, but you know what? It's still just fun to watch the kids at Bayside High try to make it through one day of school. What the hell's going to happen today?
No doubt. And really quickly, just wanted to mention to everybody out there that, yes, later tonight, Tyler and I will be recording Fans of Power at our usual time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, you know, for those who watch Fans of Power. But also, like I said, Nathan is now doing the recording for Beyond Retro. And now that, you know, definitely it is working, we're recording good and everything else, I don't know if we're going to shoot for a different day and time, Nathan, if we still got to figure that out or what, but we'll eventually give all you guys a new definitive date and time when we kind of figure it out. I didn't know if you...
My work schedule now is kind of finicky, because there will be some Saturdays, because we had talked about doing the show on Saturdays, and there are going to be some Saturdays that I'm going to be working, so... part of me feels like it might be best to sort of nail down the time, like Sunday at 2, or kind of like how we did today at 3, but you know, it kind of depends on all the schedules, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll definitely let everybody know. If we just nail it down, we have a perfect time, we're going to let everybody know that. But obviously Beyond Retro is always going to be here on Beyond Retro channel right here, where you can find us on YouTube. And, of course, Fans of Power, you'll still be able to find us under Doug Turner. So just in case that might have confused people, like, where am I going? That's how you find both of the shows.
Yeah.
And don't forget.
And yeah, even though I am recording this and putting it on this channel, like, it's still going to be on Podbean, and it's still going to, the link will still be on Pop Culture Network's website, yes, as well. So none of that's going to change. It's just the channel that this is going to be on is different now.
Yeah, this was just to take the load off of Doug, because he's been doing quite a bit of recording, you know, for a lot of podcasts. And this is just, like I said, to ease it up on him, you know, in case we had to do changes in different times. You know, we definitely don't want to be putting anybody through any type of stress of too many shows, different times, and what's going on. So doing Beyond Retro this way, like I said, eases it up on Doug. But yes, we still will continue to obviously have this be through Pop Culture Network and and wherever else you can find us. But, well, yeah, that was wrapping up. But now, Nathan, of course, you're going to do the final wrap-ups of giving us...
The final. So when I hit the button and stop the broadcast, we're done. With this hour and 40-some minute long. I don't even know how long we've been going now.
That sounds about right. I figured it had to be close to 2 hours.
Yeah, this is one of our longest episodes.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to say. I'm going to throw it to Tyler. Let's let Tyler close it out.
To let everyone know, all the episodes can be found. Me, Nathan, Joe, we're all on Facebook. Go to the Beyond Retro Facebook page. We'll be posting this episode. You can still go back and find all the older episodes on YouTube as well. And Podbean, nothing's changing there. And, you know, you can find us all on Facebook. We post all the links for the episodes on Nathan's page, Joe's page, my page, the Beyond Retro page. Go to check out popculturenetwork.com. Check out, our back catalog of episodes under Doug Turner on YouTube. Or just look up Beyond Retro, certain episode 14 on YouTube. That's kind of about the extent of our network for Beyond Retro as well right now. So we're
just, any of you guys that have been in the chat today, just make sure that if you've been able to access the new channel, make sure and give that a subscribe.
Yeah, hit like and subscribe to the channel. So you can always, that's what everybody does. And they're always pointing down like this. So you can be sure never to miss an episode of Beyond Retro.
And buy a t-shirt. And we don't have any of those.
Exactly.
Yeah, some merchandise for us, you know?
Yeah, see what we can do. But yeah, Chris Simpson he got confused almost thinking that, because I've been telling him to look for Fans of Power also. He might have got a little confused thinking that's what this was going to be. But no, Chris Simpson tonight at 9 will be Fans of Power, and that's when me and Tyler will go back and forth all thing Masters of the Universe. And yes, that's our Masters of the Universe dedicated. Beyond Retro here, we talk about everything from 80s, 90s, and a little bit of, you know, beyond. But it's usually mostly focusing on some of the good 80s, but I think we hit 90s today.
Before I forget here, I've been asked to do a guest speaking, a lecture about podcasting at Virginia Tech this Wednesday.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wait, seriously? Wow.
Yeah, there's a professor that goes to the weight club who trains with a guy I'm buddies with, Brandon Crawford, who loves 80s action movies and He-Man, stuff like that. And he introduced me to him because he says he teaches sound art at Virginia Tech. And Brandon told me that I do podcasts about He-Man and 80s movies and stuff like that. So he asked me if I would come in to do as a guest speaker to talk to it. It's a small class, he said, about podcasting. So
fantastic. All right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now you can plug the show.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And if they got everything set up, go ahead and just click on it and they can see us. And then maybe they will like and subscribe.
Yeah. I'll be plugging that, wearing my Coca-Cola uniform too. So I'll be doing a lot of product placement during this lecture here. So
that's great. No, that's great. And again, everybody that joined us live tonight in the chat room, we thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
I was kind of worried about that.
Oh yeah. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of comments. They were doing a little back and forth with among themselves, but I was trying to get to most of their questions and some of their comments. If we didn't get them all, again, I apologize, because you know, when we get ranting and going, but I did acknowledge everybody that was there in the chat room. So we appreciate it. And remember, you guys see it, you can look right down. There's that button, it says subscribe right there, so make sure you click it now so we can see that go up. You gotta share the love, you gotta enjoy it. And yeah, so that's it for them. So again, appreciate it and thank you for being in the chat.
I think we're gonna because I gotta work next Saturday. I think if you guys are good with Sunday around the same time,
could we do two if everybody would be available around two? I'd hope.
Absolutely.
I got family coming in next weekend, so hopefully I can make that. But just, you know, if I'm late, just start and I will join, because my brother and my nephew and his wife are coming in next weekend, so I'm always kind of delayed time-wise.
Okay.
And so if I don't make two, you guys start and I will jump in where you leave off. So if you guys want to keep two, I'm giving you a head. They may be gone and I may be able to make two, but I try to make sure I see them as much as I can, because they're only coming in for a short visit next weekend. So.
Okay.
But I will be here for that one. I may just be late.
All right. Well, like Joe said, thanks for everyone that joined us in the chat. I was, again, worried that no one was going to be able to find us since it was a new channel and everything. But Joe's got thousands of Facebook friends.
So yeah, connections.
Didn't worry too much.
Joe's the godfather of podcasting there.
Yeah.
No, they're all great people, so I'm glad they did come and join us. But all right, well, yeah, so thanks again for joining us. So we will see you guys next week at maybe 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
3 o'clock.